Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Closer and closer, BT, to pitchers and catchers and spring training and eventually opening day with the football season winding down. We continue to see the Los Angeles Dodgers, who beat the Yankees in the World Series last year, load up with star after star after star, which leads us to, do our teams here in town need to do more to close the gap, at least on paper? And if I'm looking at the Mets specifically, because I think the Yankees have, you know, look, they were in the World Series last year. They built, made a lot of moves, even with losing Juan Soto. I think the Mets do have to do more. You don't want to react to what other teams do. However, in this spot, to get on par with the LA Dodgers, I do think the Mets need to react and make sure that they go big. If they got Juan Soto, they still need more.
But they've got, listen, I know that both teams do need more. I agree. And I also agree that the Mets need more than the Yankees at this point. I do think the Yankees need to determine, is Jazz, hey, said it right. And I didn't give you Jazz. Is Jazz, yeah, nice. Yeah. So I'm thinking about it. It came out properly. Yeah. Is Jazz playing third or is he playing second? Once they resolve that, I think for the most part, provided they're healthy, everything will fall into line for the Yankees in a weaker American League. And then you see what happens in October. The Mets now, yeah, they need protection for Soto. They absolutely have to get that. But when I look at the Dodgers, who are a model of surplus at this point, I really think the dumbest thing for the Yanks and the Mets would be to try to match it to, number one, pacify fans, or in their own minds, just kind of hang with the big boys. I don't think there's a move that could happen the rest of this winter. I know that there's not. The rest of this winter that's going to elevate them perception-wise on the same line as the Dodgers, even if they got Bregman and even if they would have gotten Santander a couple days ago. I think when you start chasing teams rather than sticking to your model, I think that's when you get in trouble.
I think it's a sound philosophy, and I'm not surprised to hear you say that because that's consistent with the way that you would believe in football. We talked about that with the Giants or whatever, and I kind of fundamentally agree. However, BT, it is more than just trying to get the results on the field. Like, last year's Mets offseason wasn't very good, and we accepted that at the time. Or I shouldn't say it wasn't very good. It wasn't exciting.
Yeah,
and
true.
I accepted
turned
it at the time.
Turned out pretty good. It just wasn't, yeah.
Well, right. It wasn't very exciting. So it doesn't always mean you win making these big moves, which is why I don't think the Dodgers are going to be as great as everybody thinks. Now, they were World Series champions. They added to it. Ohtani's coming back healthy as far as the pitcher goes. So you look at it and say, well, how the hell are they going to be beat? Hey, this is sports. Things do happen. But there is something to be said about Steve Cohen in particular, who talks about the Dodgers being the model, and him now getting the one mega superstar in Juan Soto, but trying to compete with a team that has four or five, six of them, and you look at their rotation, I just don't know how. You saw the disparity firsthand. Again, forget about the Yankees for a second, because I don't think the disparity was as great with the Yankees as it was with the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
You saw the disparity firsthand, where I think even if everything went right for the Mets last year in the NLCS, they still weren't as good as the Los Angeles Dodgers. They got clobbered in that series, even with winning the two games. So the Mets have a long ways to go to close that gap. And the more the Dodgers add, you're not necessarily doing it in response to what they're doing, but you're doing it to try to close the gap going in anyway. I want the more for the Mets anyway.
I get it. I mean, it's going to get you jacked up and juiced up in January and leading into February and March down in Port St. Lucie and Tampa. There's also this thing called the trade deadline, and I know that that's not as sexy today. I get it, but in a lot of ways it's more effective because you know exactly what you need to address based on a lack of production, injuries, or both. You know, the thing about the Dodgers, and everybody is talking about the money that they're spending, which obviously is front and center, and it's kind of not cheating, but maybe circumventing some things on the up and up with the deferred money, blah, blah. Okay. Until baseball changes its rules, Dodgers really aren't doing literally anything legally wrong pertaining to the CBA or any of those other issues that teams abide by. But what they have to be lauded for, and if there was an opportunity now, I would say that the Mets or the Yankees should do this, but why the Dodgers were so forward-thinking and so smart, when they got, forget about the pitchers, when they got Mookie Betts, he was in his absolute prime. When they got Ohtani, he was in his absolute prime. And when they got Freddie Freeman, and they signed up for the Braves, he was still in the middle, maybe not at the beginning stage of his, but certainly in the middle of his absolute prime. And I look at guys like Santander, look at guys like Bregman, but I look at guys like Pete, who's their own. Those guys, they might be in there. I don't think Bregman's in his absolute prime. Maybe Santander is. I don't think Pete is. He's kind of close to middle forward. But they're like, their prime's not good enough, not dynamic enough to justify going for those kind of guys. Because in your mind, you think you're keeping up with the Dodgers, but you're just spending money and bringing in inferior players.
Well, let me give you an example. Tanner Scott. Like, the Mets, okay, they're pivoting from Pete. In their minds, they think Pete is going to sign elsewhere. So what do? Jesse Winker. Okay, whatever. Like,
$8 million he's fine.
Like, here's what Jesse Winker is. He's better than Daniel Vogelback or better than J.D. Martinez. But, like, he's Jesse Winker. Okay. And then they get A.J. Minter, right? Good reliever. Love the sign.
Solid.
Why couldn't they go get Tanner Scott in addition? Like, the Mets are operating with Steve Cohen, and I'm not trying to call out Steve Cohen because I think he's done a great job, and I understand that you don't need to spend $400 billion to build a winning team. But if the Dodgers can go add guys on top of guys, like extending for Blake Snell and bringing him in, you know, the Glasnow trade, whatever, and then signing him up, and I think you have to almost take out Yamamoto, Ohtani, and Sasaki because the Mets tried, Mets and Yankees both tried to get those guys. They just couldn't because they wanted to go to the Dodgers. But Tanner Scott could have been had by the Mets or the Yankees. And let's just focus on the Mets for a second. If the Mets went out there and got Minter and Tanner Scott, we'd be feeling pretty good about their bullpen. Instead, the Dodgers go pay him the 4 years, whatever it was that he got. So there are moves that could be made. And Walker Buehler, like, the Mets could have added another starting pitcher. Now you're saying, okay, well, is he that surefire bet? No, maybe not, but they're thin in the rotation, they're thin in the bullpen, they're thinner in the lineup. There were moves that they could be made outside of the ones that they couldn't get, like the Japanese players. Why are the Dodgers making those moves, but the Mets can't?
I don't have an absolute answer for you, but I do know this. Remember, I just talked about the primes and the absolute primes and how the Dodgers were ahead of it getting those guys. Okay. To me, there's only, at least for public knowledge, one player right now in baseball who is in his, I think he's just entering his absolute prime, and the Mets, and we think he's available, and the Mets are in the middle of everything. That's Vlad.
Right.
So that is in line with what the Dodgers were doing with Mookie Betts when they got him at the age. Now, that's number one.
By the way, I think the Mets, sorry to cut you off there, BT, but if Steve Cohen was the owner at the time, they would have been in on Mookie Betts. Doesn't mean they would have gotten him.
Yeah, I agree.
But they would have been in on
Mookie
Betts. Maybe not the Yankees because of the Red Sox thing, but
I agree with that. I think that that's fair. I think that there's enough evidence that Steve Cohen's going to be on anybody that he think is ascending and a true organizational difference maker, no matter what the price tag is.
Or they wouldn't have let Zach Wheeler go. Like, those are two moves.
That's an old one, but I agree.
He's still dominant now.
He's very good.
So he would have been in their rotation, theoretically. Anyway.
The other thing, though, this is important, too, and I know it's not as fun, even though some people love digging in the weeds here, but most people don't really. First of all, nobody truly knows because you'll see where I'm going. They're still unproven commodities, but I think you have to factor this in. Every decision the Mets make or don't make on some level is also correlating to what they believe that they have in the minor league system. I'm telling you, I get it. It's not exciting in January when it's 9 degrees outside and you have the Dodgers with basically 13 All-Stars. I get it. I agree. I understand. Yes, but part of that sustainability, and that is the word that you and Evan and all these great Met fans have used forever. What you guys are chasing is every year when you go down to camp in the middle of February, you're on the short list to win the World Series. Not for 1 year, but, you know, a run of 5 or 6 years. Like the Yankees are there. Like the Dodgers are obviously there, even more than the Yankees, clearly, because they beat them. So I just think it's kind of it's a tsunami of things almost working against the Mets right now. Not forever, but right now. There's not a lot of prime. Well, tell me, maybe you can lure Tatis away from the Padres. All right, maybe you had that conversation. He's in his prime. But there's not many in the prime guys that they can get right now. They might get Vlad. They're trying. And also, they really like their minor league system. That's something David Stearns is very good at. You got to let him cook.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. But the minor league system, you know, you got to wait for that and then see who's going to develop. And a lot of these guys aren't even his. They were Epler's picks. But to your point, whether it's Vlad, whether it's Tucker, whatever it may be.
Tucker,
I mean, the Yankees tried both the Mets and the Yankees on paper. Let's say the Yankees get to the World Series, take on the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean they can't win. We've seen upsets happen in sports all the time.
They'd be massive underdogs. Okay. They would absolutely, people would think they would get crushed.
And that's kind of the point. Like, going in, the Dodgers have started to pull away from the field, even though the Mets and Yankees are in the conversation for a handful of teams that can legitimately compete for a World Series. The Dodgers just keep piling on and piling on. And we're New York. Like, the Yankees shouldn't be taking a backseat to anybody. And Steve Cohen and the Mets shouldn't be taking a backseat to anybody. That's what we talked about going head-to-head. And instead of going head-to-head, now it should be the bullseye on the Dodgers. But the Yankees are potentially going into the season with DJ LeMahieu as their third baseman.
That's going to really draw my ire. I can't choose to believe that that's going to happen on opening day. If it does, you'll get my reaction clearly here on WFAN. I also think that when you look, I know the game's changed a lot, and we use the term kind of like the NCAA tournament, one game, even though baseball's not one game. There's a randomness to it because it's cyclical, the rate of failure. Aaron Judge, you know, MVP, basically 1-for-20 every series it seemed with a bunch of whiffs. Okay, but go back, it was a while ago, and it just passed, right? So it's kind of timely. Go back to that amazing A's team. Number one, they were all hopped up on steroids. Yeah. They had Eckersley. They had Stewart. They had Mark McGwire. They had Jose Canseco. They had Ricky. They got swept by the Reds. Who the Reds have? Eric Davis and Chris Sabo?
Right.
Who the hell was on that
Jose
team?
Jose Rio. I know, I get it.
You know what I'm saying? So I get it. Yes, it fits the narrative today in January. It's a long season, and both teams are going to make more moves.
I know it may not be the smartest thing, but I do feel like there's got to be some kind of reaction.
So it's more of an emotional thing rather than maybe pragmatic?
Well, I think both. I think the Mets need it more anyway, but seeing them sit there and just saying, yeah, we're going to be practical about things and wait and be patient, and then seeing the Dodgers make moves on top of moves, like, come on, we thought we're closing a gap here, and they just keep going.
They keep adding to their war chest. Listen, I do have to be fair to this, though, and be fair to the Yankees. Like, if it's DJ, we got a problem. You know, they need to resolve the second, third base, but, and you know, I love the pivot. They brought in a great closer. They brought in a center fielder who could play first, who could run and hit bombs and a lefty, which is what they need. They brought in a first baseman who at the very least is going to be functional, better than Rizzo. I think the Yankees are going to win a lot of games this year. I will say, though, once the Mets got Juan Soto, I thought there were multiple big moves coming since. I am very surprised it's been this quiet from the Mets' perspective.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019, the number to call. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Charlie is in Bethpage. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, BT and Sal, how are you, boys?
Good, Charlie. What's up?
What's up, man?
You know what? I love you guys. You guys are my sports therapist, and I need to hear it being a Met and Jet fan. You save me a lot of moments and not going to a therapist and paying co-payments. But I'm just saying, we went over this when we signed Soto, and I called him that day. I went over the King Soto, Santa Soto thing, and I said the job's not done. And Sal, you hit that red button so quick and told me you enjoyed the moment. Well, I did enjoy the moment. That moment passed. And all we've done since then is Manaea. And that's not good enough. I wanted Freed. I wanted Burns. I wanted Beulah. I needed another arm. You know what? How about just sign Pete Alonso, start something here, and get me some more plays on that roster? Because one guy's not going to do it. The Yankees couldn't do it with Soto and Judge. And now we're going against the evil empire in the West Coast. And we're not given a chance here if we don't do anything.
That's kind of my point, Charlie, and thank you for the call, and we do appreciate the kind
words. He's more with you.
Yeah, it's not, but I'm not, like, he was saying that right after Soto, and I'm saying take a deep breath here.
I remember what he called.
And I think the Mets have had a sound offseason. They got the big fish in Soto, so it's fine from there, but I wanted more in the starting rotation, and then they needed to build out a bullpen, and A.J. Minter's a nice addition, but why couldn't it be Minter and Tanner Scott? Why can't it be? And by the way, I was under the assumption that they were going to bring Pete back, and if it wasn't going to be Pete, well, then they were going to bring somebody else in.
Mm-hmm.
So right now we're operating where the Mets didn't do as much as I thought they would in the starting rotation. They didn't really do much in the bullpen, and they didn't do much in the lineup with losing Alonso. Like, at least if you brought back Alonso, it'd be okay. Well, Soto, Alonso. And I'm fine with not Pete, but then who's replacing him? Like, the Mets basically, the incremental upgrades, right? Even with Soto. I love the superstar move. They're better now than they were last year, but if it's a mild upgrade.
I know what you mean.
And the Dodgers won the World Series and they've upgraded.
Mm-hmm.
The gap still remains the same, if not wider.
Yeah, but even if Pete was already signed, the gap would still be massive.
Yeah.
So where do you go from there?
You mean if they brought Pete back?
Yeah, let's say they announced tonight, Pete's coming back on a one-year, $33 million deal. Prove it, you know, go back out to free agency next year. Yeah, you've got the bigger stick behind Soto for protection, which I know that's something they really need. I said that 10 minutes ago. I'm surprised that hasn't been addressed yet. But, I mean, does that, like, significantly change the pecking? No, I mean the Dodgers are still looking down at everybody, including the Yankees in the American League.
Well, that's what I mean. But don't you think then these teams need to do a little bit more? It's not just reacting.
I know. It's not just scratching that emotional itch. I want more. I know. But if the Mets, and I know the word analytics gets a lot of people to cringe. If the analytics of the Mets, and let's face it, Stearns has earned the benefit of the doubt. He's been here 1 year. Look what happened last year. I don't have to remind you, Mets fans, that basically everything he touched worked out well. And the things he did touch, what was the third baseman that they got early on that didn't work out? Joey Wendell, former Tampa Bay Ray, that they got rid of. Yeah, they signed him for $2 million. They gave it a shot. Didn't work. Get lost. You're not good enough. You know, so I think everything they did worked out. The things that they did that didn't work out, they made those go away very quickly. But I just think that you have to understand that Stearns, while it's going to be supported with more money because he's here, not in Milwaukee, his blueprint is not to just go out there like a drunken sailor and do damage. And if Met fans are waiting for that, that's not coming.
Right, and you're right about the analytics. Like, they project, let's say this year, their projections are saying they're a 90-91 win team.
Mm-hmm.
Last year it was 85 wins, whatever it was, and they may exceeded that by a little bit. Okay, so our projections say we're 90-91 wins. With Pete Alonso, we're 92, whatever it may be.
Yep.
And they're thinking it's not worth this much money. That's fine. But then if you get your asses handed to you again by the Dodgers in the postseason, and we felt that last year, similar to the Knicks, BT, where a year ago the Knicks, and we'll get more into them, but you know, the Knicks maxed out, it felt like, especially with the injuries. They maxed out. They needed more talent to legitimately compete for an NBA championship.
Yep.
The Mets need more based on what else is going on. Maybe the Yankees don't because of the American League.
Yeah.
And then once they get there, there'll be a little rude awakening. But the Mets need more going in to legitimately compete with a team like the Dodgers on paper.
See, I hate to throw a curve here because it's almost burying the lead. But the more I think about this, really, and I understand the Dodgers' energy, I truly do. I think the better point might be, it really might be, the Mets have to do more to compete with the Braves and the Phillies.
Yeah.
Forget about the Dodgers right now.
That is true. That is true. Ray is in Waterbury, Connecticut. What's up, Ray?
Ray.
Hi, guys. Great monologue. You know what? Both you guys are absolutely right. The Mets need a bat. Whether it's Pete, they need a bat. They can't be I don't want to hear. This isn't last year. We're in a transition year. I don't want to hear, let's see what the young guys could do. That was for last year. The bottom line is, we need a bat, whether it's Profar, somebody, you know. And the bottom line is, I think we're an arm short in the rotation and a bat short. I mean, the bottom line is, don't spend the money.
Can I ask you a quick question? Because I don't want to lose this point. I get this. And he wasn't even on the opening day roster, so maybe they kind of backdoored this and stumbled into it. So when you say the young players, the development, that was for a year ago. Well, what if one of the, and I don't think it's going to be Beatty, but what if it's Beatty or Mauricio? What if they replicate what the Vientos did a year ago? Now you got two kids who are in their early 20s who were studs.
Right. But, you know, you're right, BT. But the bottom line is, get rid of Marte. He shouldn't be on this roster.
I agree with that. Get rid of him. He stinks.
They're trying, and they have tried to trade him, and thank you for the call, Ray. See, there is a difference between reacting to what another team is doing and building your team to the best of its capabilities going in.
Well said. I agree with
and
that.
And I don't believe, prior to these extra Dodger moves, I don't believe the Mets built their team, nor did the Yankees, and we can get to them when we come back just to add on to it a little bit.
Yep.
Nor did the Yankees build, the Mets and Yankees did not build their team to the best of their capabilities going in. And then you have the Dodgers land Sasaki, maybe not a surprise to some. I thought he was going to go to the Padres, but whatever. Then you have them add Tanner Scott. Like, they just keep adding to this team. They add Kirby Yates. Like, the Dodgers are getting a lot of the guys that you would think the Mets would need for their bullpen. Yankees already have a beefed up bullpen, but you get the point. So I don't think, it's separate from what the Dodgers have done, which is just pile on to the already best team in baseball. I don't think the Mets and Yankees did enough anyway.
Okay, I think what's really happened here, and one of our last callers, the first call of the day, and it was Charlie. He said it. You know, the Juan Soto juice and that residue from that excitement, that has expired. Like, and that's not being greedy. That's being realistic. Like, the Mets, and we'll incorporate the Yankees more next, but the Yanks need a little tweak. Like, the Mets need...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Need more, I think, just to be a playoff team. Now, not everybody's going to agree with that statement, but I think where we are now is that one-month joyride of exultation with Soto, it's evaporated a little bit. And Mets got to do something else here.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Continuing with your calls, we'll get to the Aaron Glenn update. He did, in fact, leave the building. We'll do that in the course of the next 40 minutes or so.
He's going for speed. She's all alone.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. We got a lot to get to today, a lot of different stuff. We'll get into the Aaron Glenn and the Jet stuff. He did leave the building. Also, the head coaching carousel in the NFL. But we started the show talking about baseball and just in response to what the Dodgers are doing to the Mets and Yankees need to do more. And before we get back to the calls here, BT, I wanted to just go over all the moves so far that the Mets, Yankees, and Dodgers have made this offseason. And a reminder, the Dodgers eliminated the Mets in the NLCS, even though the Mets won two games, it was largely non-competitive. Yep. The Dodgers beat the Yankees in the World Series in five games, and the series probably closer than that, but still, you get the idea. The disparity was great between the Dodgers and these teams. So the Mets, off of a year where they lost to the Dodgers, added Juan Soto, bring back Sean Manaea. This is their offseason moves. Bringing Clay Holmes to be a starter.
Mm-hmm.
And Clay Holmes to the bullpen, yes. Clay Holmes to be a starter, I don't know.
I actually like that better than you do.
Fair enough. I mean, I'm okay
like
with
that.
It, but...
I got you. You see it.
Well, we talk about eliminating question marks with the Jets head coach. In theory, you should eliminate the question marks in your lineup, on your roster. We've never seen it before. He hasn't started. So, anyway, Clay Holmes in the rotation. Frankie Montas in the rotation. They obviously lose Luis Severino along the way. Bring in A.J. Minter. Love that move. Winker back for a full year. Okay. Griffin Canning. Whatever. And Jose Siri via trade. So those are the Mets moves. I mean, it's a nice offseason.
Yep.
But is it enough to close the gap with the Dodgers? Now, and you get the Yankees.
No. And the answer for that is no. For the Yankees, I'll go backwards. Obviously, Goldschmidt, the most recent one. And the first base been a big issue for the Yankees.
Okay.
A big one. Rizzo, it sounds good. He's been awful last year and a half or so. No juice, no home runs. Got sloppy in the field. If Goldschmidt's not... He's not going to be an MVP, but if he's at least above league average, which I believe he will, then it makes sense. 1 year, $12.5 million. They traded Trevino to the Reds. This is an under-the-radar move. Well, Trevino, first of all, couldn't throw guys out. Had no pop. Wow, he's an amazing framer. Okay, I know the stats. And he is. I'm not trying to minimize that. It does matter. But, you know, and you even said that you like Fernando Cruz.
I do.
As do I. I didn't realize this. I did just a quick little deep dive because the Yankees bullpen is going to be filthy. So he had 109 strikeouts in 66 innings, okay? Now, he played in a bandbox, obviously, in Cincinnati, so the ERA should go down.
Those numbers are ridiculous.
They're filthy. Now, 36 walks is a little bit much there, but you get him around the better pitching staff with a pitching coach. But how about this? Now, he throws a splitter. That's his main pitch. Splitter, he throws about 40% of the time, so almost half. Opponents hit 116 on a splitter. So you throw that electric arm as maybe the third or fourth option in the pen behind Williams, behind Luke Weaver, Loaisiga back. That's another move the Yankees made. I really do like that, and I liked it then.
Right, so Goldschmidt, Cruz.
I just had to elaborate on that because I don't think a lot of people know much about him. Bellinger, obviously, for Cody Petit, you 30 years old, not going to play much anyway. We know about Devin Williams for Nestor Cortez and Caleb Durbin. Durbin was a guy that they liked. Maybe they were just jacking him up a little bit, always had intentions to trade him. Loaisiga back, who's pretty good when he's on, a one-year deal and an option for 2026. And, of course, the Max Fried move, they brought back Grisham. So,
and they lose Soto, Gleyber, and Clay Holmes, just to name a few.
Yes, and they had zero interest in bringing back Gleyber Torres, as we know. I think they would have been maybe open to Clay Holmes on the right number. Clay Holmes is, you know, once he found his footing in a different role, he was pretty good again.
Before we get to the Dodgers, we'll have Hoff do the Dodger moves after those. How would you grade the Mets offseason so far?
I mean, it's very skewed, dude. I mean, it's very skewed because Juan Soto's an A+.
Right.
1 through 10, all encompassing, clearly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. About a B minus.
Well, if you go on a scale of 1 to 10.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, 1 to 10, 7?
Yeah. And probably Soto takes that up. I don't think I could go lower than that because of Soto. But all right, 7. What would you grade the Yankees offseason, scale of 1 to 10?
8, 8.5.
Yeah, I'd probably still go 7, 7.5.
I love the Yankees offseason. I hate that they lost Soto.
Yeah, if they got Bregman, now I'm talking 8, 9 potentially on the offseason.
See, but that's a move that sounds good. It's gonna have no home runs at Yankee Stadium.
Well, I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about defense at third base and also upgrade.
Understood, but you ain't getting them for a year. You know.
Now those are two teams that fell short and got eliminated by the Dodgers. Hoff, what have the world champion Dodgers done so far this offseason?
So in November, they agreed to deals with Dustin May and Tony Gonsolin, who they already had.
Yeah,
they worked out
whatever.
Contracts. They signed Tommy Edman to a 5-year deal. Signed Blake Snell to a 5-year deal.
So Snell, the first big one there. Go ahead.
Re-signed Blake Trinan and Michael Conforto.
Yeah.
They actually got rid of a top prospect in when they made the deal for Teoscar Hernandez.
Right.
To make room, they got rid of a top 20 prospect, Diego Cartaya.
Mm-hmm.
They traded away Gavin Lux, got a draft pick back.
All right, just give us the big ones here. So we got Teoscar back, Blake Snell in. Go ahead.
And then they obviously got
Sasaki.
They got Tanner Scott, and they got Kirby Yates.
Yeah, I mean, those are big moves for it. Now, how would you grade their offseason? Blake Snell coming in and not factoring in getting Ohtani back healthy.
Yeah, when I grade the offseason, it's not just, all right, who do they bring in, but it's also, more specifically, what needs did they address? And their needs were fairly limited. So, I mean, they just, a number, you know, the reinforcements are very, very, 9, 9.5, I mean, very high. Very good job.
Their rotation wasn't really a problem. And by the way, they overcame it with the loaded bullpen, in which they added Kirby Yates and Tanner Scott to that loaded bullpen.
They bring in
Blake Snell. They get Sasaki. And now, look, they were lucky with Sasaki because he wanted to go there. But still, everybody's choosing the Dodgers. So, I mean, that is, the Dodgers were the World Series champions and they got better. I'd probably give their offseason a 7 or an 8. So if the Mets and Yankees are sitting around a 7 or 8 in the offseason and the Dodgers are at a 7 or 8, maybe a little bit higher.
How do you close the gap when the gap is already big?
Yeah.
Well, that's where I go into, again, the randomness of baseball, but also knowing that they probably didn't, or they didn't close the gap until they actually show that they get a little lucky, because both will be massive dogs playing against the Dodgers in a lengthy series. Let me ask you this, Al.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, maybe we're missing one off the top of our heads, but what do you think? And Hoff, if something comes to your head real quick, too, what do you think of the top 3 pitching staffs in baseball right now going in on paper?
The top 3 pitching staffs?
Just the top 3. Starters. Dodgers, don't even include the bullpen.
Dodgers for sure.
Yep.
Yankees have to be in there.
And who
for
would maybe
sure.
be 3?
Phillies.
Phillies? Wheeler and Nola, although I don't love the whole rotation.
But that's why, and the answer with the Yankees, that's why I give the Yankees a significantly higher grade than you do. Because there's you're not going to, no matter what the Yankees did this offseason, I don't think 1 through 9 they would roll out a better, more potent, more dangerous lineup than the Dodgers.
Yeah.
You know, but
they also lost Soto, so for me that's a major.
Understood. Right. It's massive. No,
right.
Understood. It's massive. But like their deficiencies last year were so glaring, you know, defense on the bases, and you know, even though the pitching staff held up pretty well without Gerrit Cole early, I didn't trust Nestor Cortez. I think he's average. Like, the Yankees at least give you a different way to beat somebody. Like, if I say to you, Sal, all right, my answer would be, if you say, how are the Yankees going to win 90-something games this year? My first answer would be they're going to outpitch people.
Right.
Both ends, starters and back end. And if Judge stays healthy, he's going to be an MVP, top 2, top 3, and that's why. And so that's stylistically how I can see the Yankees winning. If I say to you, and I don't know your answer, how do you see the Mets winning? I don't think you're going to say it's because of pitching.
Yeah, is
it the lineup, for sure?
That's what makes me even more angry, because you're right. The Yankees, you could say on paper, now we'll see how it plays out, and their rotation was very good last year with a good bullpen, but it should be better this year. Yankees better starting rotation, Yankees better bullpen, that's the formula, combined with, you know, a little bit of offense and Judge, the masher, whatever. The Mets don't have that. The Mets lineup isn't even that much better. It's better because of Juan Soto, but they lose Pete Alonso, who wasn't great, but still, you're taking out, you know, 35 home runs in production. It may be a wash right now.
I understand what you're saying.
So Soto's better. The Mets lineup is better. It's more potent having Soto in it. Nobody would dispute that. But is it that much better than what it was a year ago? And if you take that out of the equation, is their rotation better than it was a year ago? I don't think so. I think it's on par to what it was a year ago.
Yeah.
Is their bullpen better? Maybe, but it's not to a point where I say, yes, this is going to be their strength. Dodgers can load up with all that they have. The Mets are going to beat you with pitching in the rotation and the bullpen. No, the Yankees could do that. The Mets cannot.
That's why I flipped it to you that way. But yeah. I want to give you a ray of encouragement here. Now, I think when you look at, I know we got a break. We'll get back and more of these calls, obviously.
Also getting some potential news here on Aaron Glenn.
My boy AG in the house. Get ready to ink that contract.
You want me to hit you with it now? Well, this is just a...
Yeah, hit me.
Yeah.
Hit me.
Josina Anderson reporting on social media. Quote, this is Josina Anderson.
It's done.
I'm told that Lions DC Aaron Glenn has made it known he's planning to take the Jets head coach job as early as yesterday. I guess he made it known yesterday. That is according to multiple, this is Josina Anderson saying per multiple league sources.
Okay.
This is the expectation, still barring a major setback or flub. I mean, you know, it's not, she's covering herself there, but.
No, it's at the 2-yard line, unless Woody's son's ruined this thing here. I mean, it seems like it's going to be a done deal, which I love.
I guess that was reported yesterday as well. So anyway, there you go. We can get more into that as we come back.
Yeah, no, I got you. The only thing I was going to say about the Mets lineup here, yes, because I think the conventional way of looking at it as well, you know, Pete did this and you lose that percentage of home runs and RBIs and Juan Soto does this. So the gain, the massive gain that you would have with Soto is somewhat offset by the absence of Pete. Clearly, that's just a pure numbers. I get that. But, and I can't quantify this because nobody can, the efficiency trickle down on the guys in front of them and the guys behind
them. Yeah, they're going to be better.
And I still don't think the Mets are going to miss Pete that much. I just don't.
I really don't. Me neither, but can you say that their lineup is definitively that much better from what it was a year ago? Now,
I'd rather have this lineup.
Yeah, me too.
Than last year's lineup.
Agreed.
I really would.
Agreed.
But definitively better, I can't say that.
I think it's, well, I shouldn't say that. I think it's better than it was last year.
So do I.
So can I say that, or we can say that definitively? You know what I mean? I don't think it's that much better to where they took some leaps and bounds and said, wow, the Mets now have a top offense in the sport. They might, and statistically they were up there last year even. Mm-hmm. They're better, but, I mean, come on, how could it compare with the top teams that we've seen?
It doesn't, but the upside variables would be, and there's also downturns to this potential, but I'll focus on the positive since it's early. You know, Vientos 2.0 could be even more refined. Right. Alvarez, I mean, he can only go up.
Yep.
I mean, if Alvarez goes back this year, then he's just not what we thought he would be,
right.
And it's probably time to pull the plug on him. You know, Acuna's going to start getting some at-bats. Mauricio, I don't know what these players will be. Well, I think I know what Vientos will be. The other ones are wild cards and variables, but they're not bad variables. To me, they're optimistic, potentially really franchise-altering variables. So that's the good stuff with it.
BT and Sal on the Fan. More of your calls on the other side when we come back. 888-808-1019.
Jay is hard as hell. Battle anybody, I don't care. You tell. I excel. They are fair. Gonna cocktail double.
Now back on the Fan on this Wednesday morning. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We'll get back to those calls in just a little bit here. In about 10 minutes, we'll get it back into the Aaron Glenn conversation that we were having yesterday.
Rock those bells, Sally. Let's go.
I'm ready for it. Actually, BT, this upcoming Saturday, we were talking about this off the air, but I didn't say it on the air yet. This upcoming Saturday, the Mets, speaking that we're talking about the Mets all day, might as well get this in here now. Mets putting on a great fan fest called Amazing Day, and I'll be co-hosting live from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. with Joe Beningo. On site from the Metro Market at Citi Field. Not sure exactly where that is yet. So go check it out at the Metro Market. Got to find out where we'll be. But it's going to be a great time out in Queens. We'll have special guests joining us on site on the Fan. And there'll be a ton of activities for everyone to enjoy all over Citi Field. I can't wait to experience it. I never have. Matter of fact, I've never broadcast live from there, so that I'm looking forward to doing. But just hanging out and seeing the layout, I'm told that it's going to be in all different areas of Citi Field. So many cool things, autograph sessions, meet and greets, food and beverage experiences. Hoff is going to be there with Evan Roberts. They'll be hosting a special live edition of the Rico Bronya podcast from the K Corner, which I think that's the old McFadden's,
it is.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
So there you go, K Corner. Do you know, Hoff, where the Metro Market is at Citi Field?
That I don't. I don't know.
Whatever. The Metro Market. We'll find out on Saturday all together.
This sounds fun.
It's going to be a fun day at Amazing Day this Saturday coming up at Citi Field. So come check us out.
Hold on now. What time are you on the air with Joe? 10 to
1? 10 a.m. to 1, yeah.
What time are you going to be out there until?
I don't know. Where start time is 11. I'm not sure how long we're going until.
Because I got a travel hoops game at 1.
Think about going?
I'd love to go to that.
Wear your Lindor jersey?
Stop, dude.
Hey, what do you mean?
Wear my Lindor jersey.
Do you still have it or you gave it away? You gave it to Hoff?
That's a great question.
Maybe we'll get you a Soto jersey.
Wait a second. What did I do with that jersey?
I have it. You gave it to me.
I don't have it.
No, you gave it to me.
I did. Okay.
You told me I should lose some weight and put this on, and I could start rocking it, and I went the other way instead.
I haven't seen you wear it since, so evidently you didn't drop any weight.
No. It's a little snug on Hoff. I do have an issue with that. I got the surgery coming up next week. Actually, 1 week from today, dude, I'm going under. I don't like thinking about that.
Dude, you get a little tiny eye procedure. Just stop the drama queen nonsense.
I need you to toughen me up before the end of the week. All right. So I got my mom coming in for the week.
That's fantastic. We all need mama.
Yeah, because, my wife thinks it's because you got to watch the baby, but really, I need the...
TLC. You need mom. Listen, my wife used to get, not mad, that's not the right word, but like when we first met, when we first got married, that's a nice shirt. What do you my mom got me this. Like, she thought everything that, like, I always wrap, my mom did this, my mom did that. I get it. And they love each other, but there's something about that wife, mother-in-law life, because they want to be the ones who take care of you. But let's face it, mama had us first.
I get it. She's here through thick and thin.
That's right.
Till death do us part. Yeah. Anyway, so I gotta pick my mom up because she's on the island. So I'm thinking, gotta pick her up Saturday morning. Then on the way back, take her to City Field with me potentially.
Won't you sleep there Friday night?
Well, because then now I'm out of that whole house Friday night, and then by the time I get back, it's with mom all week.
You gotta mitigate the damage here. I got it.
Just I might have to have her tag it along with me. All the ones I gotta go there after the show.
Oh, she gonna come to City Field?
That's what I'm saying.
Well, she loves doing
and
that
then,
stuff.
And then she'll be with us in Jersey for the week next week.
Yeah.
I'm gonna take her in studio. She wants to meet
you. She's coming in?
Yeah, she's dying to come in. She met you before.
But I met her at the draft party, the draft show that we did.
It was different because now she
We didn't like each other back then. She didn't know if she should like me because her son for some reason didn't like me. Even though he didn't really know me.
No, exactly. I don't think she was familiar with it yet. And now she listens to the show every day. She likes you more than me, I think now.
Most people do.
Oh, that BT is funny. I'm like, Ma, what are you talking about? All right, BT, anyway, check us out.
That's going to be fun, man. Yeah. That's Saturday?
I'm really looking forward to it. Saturday out of City Field. Let's get back to the phones, BT. 888-808-1019. Larry is calling from East Islip. What's up, Larry?
Hey, Larry.
Gentlemen, Merry New Year. What is happening? How we doing, Juan Soto?
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you this. You are spot on, BT. Spot on today. Me and you think exactly alike. The Mets are looking sustainability. They're not trying to kill everybody. This guy's here 1 year, and look what he's done in 1 year. We're three clowns last year going 70 wins, 75 wins. Look where they got to.
Yep.
You know we're going after Guerrero. You know. The guy, we got the GM finally, and we got the owner that likes the big boys and that can play with the big fish. We just got to hang in there. He's building. Let him build. Let him work. BT. Tell these guys, let this guy cook.
I'm telling him.
We're going, please. Yeah, but we're going.
Larry, you're saying you want Guerrero, so we're saying the same thing, and thank you for the call. Larry's saying, yeah, let him cook, but I want Guerrero. And by the way, I got news for you, and I think they're getting Guerrero, BT.
Uh-huh.
Even if they do, they're still not as good as the Dodgers.
No, but getting Guerrero doesn't feel like a reaction to what the Dodgers are doing with the surplus of talent. It seems like just the move that you do, even if the Dodgers were awful. Because Vlad is 25.
Right, no, he's the guy,
righty compliment to Soto for 5 or 6 years, which could be amazing.
All right, so to Larry.
Not quite Judge Soto, but.
I get it. To Larry's point, so you want the Mets to do what? Just stay the course and be patient, and then what? But you know that this year, they're not. Like, are the Mets good enough to win a World Series this year?
No.
But that's my problem.
I don't believe they are.
Right, me.
No,
me
I don't
neither.
Think they're good enough to win the division right now.
I know, but that doesn't even matter as
and no,
much.
I know. We do get wrapped up and hung up on the symbolic stuff, which really means nothing when you start playing in, for the most part, in October.
You'd like to think it means something, and I wish that it did, and I would love for the Mets to have the one seed and have a bye because you think your odds would increase, but there's no guarantee that it will. And we've seen multiple times over wild card teams have gone on runs in the postseason. So the really winning the division or having 102 wins, like, that doesn't mean anything. Just get in, and then anything can happen, but I want to limit the risks or the question marks as roll the dice. Yeah, get in, anything could happen. Well, I want to have the most formidable team possible going in, much like the Dodgers. Dodgers, I would bet the field. Dodgers aren't going to win, but I'd still like to close the gap.
I understand it. I feel like it would be a little bit more applicable if the Dodgers and the Mets were in the same division. Even though, again, divisional supremacy has been marginalized a bit over the years because it's a little bit more watered down throughout baseball, Dodgers aside. Like, if they were in your division and there was like a 5-year runway where you look ahead, you're like, eh, there's no way we could even win this division. But then maybe it's a little different. Not completely, because I still don't think you abandon your philosophy for one team. Think about how, I know sometimes I reach for a lot of analogies. Yeah. Some are really good. Some probably don't make as much sense. But think about how we were always imploring the Knicks, oh, go get this guy. They would do it. And it was a move that made it a little bit better, but it never resulted, like whether it's Zach or Steph or Curry or Stevie Francis. We know all the names, right? When the Knicks got, now they got some issues this year, but we'll talk about them later, but they're obviously very good. The way the Knicks got to where they are now, which is on the contender list, is by being patient to start, not reacting to the Celtics, not reacting to the Sixers, but accruing all of this equity and then pouncing when it was time to pounce. Yeah. That's what the Mets need to do.
If the Dodgers were in the American League, what would you be saying? From a Yankees perspective.
Okay, if the Dodgers were in the American League, the disparity between between the Yankees and the Dodgers right now, in my opinion, and the Mets and the Dodgers is not nearly as great.
Right.
So I don't think I'd be quite as alarmed. I'd be bothered.
But still.
I mean, nobody wants to never have a chance on paper based on the odds to represent the American League, or if they're in the division, to win the division. I get the angst. I do.
Because it's different for the Yankees. Not only do I think that they're better, I agree with you that they're better suited to beat the Dodgers. They only have to do it once in the World Series, potentially.
Yep.
Where the Mets have to go through the Dodgers in the National League, then get to the World Series. Like, the Dodgers become the Yankees' problem on the grandest stage, potentially.
It's a good problem to have.
Yeah, there's a better chance the Dodgers aren't even there.
Yeah.
So, and the Yankees in the American League, there seems to be a clear path to get back to the World Series. Not saying it's guaranteed.
It's not.
So, all right, well, we have to worry about the 115-win Dodgers in a best-of-seven-game series. Well, maybe they're exhausted by that. But who the hell knows what could happen at that point?
Their pitching rotation's not lined up. You jump up early in the series.
And you're coming from a closer distance anyway.
Correct.
So it's a little more concerning or alarming where you're further away from the Mets' perspective than the Dodgers, and they're in your own league.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Mets, I thought the Mets needed more anyway. And now after Sasaki, Yates, and Scott, the Mets need more.
Sniffing a little frustration today. That Soto bouquet is...
Don't get me started.
It's worn off a little bit.
No, I plan on having an amazing week and amazing day. Hey, Vlad will get here. It's just a matter of when. But yeah, you're right. I'm sniffing something, and it's not pleasant. We'll come back. We'll talk about Aaron Glenn on the other side, as well as your calls, 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan.